From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A high-stakes legal battle today at the Supreme Court. The case tests Vice President Cheney's refusal to disclose what role executives and lobbyists from the energy industry played in developing the Bush administration's energy policy. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg was there.
The conservative watchdog group Judicial Watch and the liberal environmental group, the Sierra Club, filed suit to find out just how much influence energy executives had. They sued under the Federal Advisory Committee Act, known by the inelegant acronym FACA. Judicial Watch filed a similar suit in the Clinton years to find out information about First Lady Hillary Clinton's health task force. And back then, a federal appeals court ruled that the White House had to release information about outsiders who participated in the process. It is precisely that information that Judicial Watch and the Sierra Club have been trying to get hold of from the Cheney Energy Task Force for the last 3 years. The administration has resisted, claiming that since all the members of the task force are full-time government employees, the task force is not covered by the disclosure requirements of the Advisory Committee Act. But when the federal judge in charge of the case ordered a limited production of documents to see if that was true, the administration took an extraordinary appeal, first to the Circuit Court of Appeals, and when it lost there, to the Supreme Court. What is extraordinary about the appeal is that it came mid-case, and that is usually not allowed, nor are complaints about the pretrial document production orders known as discovery orders. Today, the government's Supreme Court advocate, Solicitor General Ted Olson, told the High Court that this case is different because the document production, the discovery order here, struck at the heart of the president's constitutional power to get confidential advice from whomever he wants. Thus, he said, the lower court order violated the constitutional separation of powers. But Justice Anthony Kennedy wondered if the president wasn't invading the judicial branch's power to craft how cases are handled. And Justices Souter and Ginsburg asked how they could resolve the issues in this case without a factual record and a lower court judgment on the merits of the case. Olson contended that this case is much like the Nixon-Watergate tapes case, where the Supreme Court accelerated consideration. But Justice Kennedy pointed out that President Nixon had claimed executive privilege over his tapes, whereas here, the president has not claimed executive privilege.
In the Nixon case, the president exercised his privilege, and that was overruled.
The president is in the position of having to defy a court order, risk sanctions of some sort.
But you're not defying a court order if you exercise a privilege.
Olson responded that the court should take the president at his word when he says that every member of his energy task force is a government employee and thus not covered by the disclosure provisions of the advisory committee law. Otherwise, he said, everything the president does would be subject to a FACA lawsuit in a heartbeat. But Kennedy and other justices were struggling with why there should be a different set of pretrial discovery rules for the president and vice president.
How do you describe the general exception that you want us to have for discovery disputes in the district courts?
When
it involves the vice president is different?
Well, it certainly does when it involves the president or the vice president and core constitutional functions.
Why then, asked Justice Stephen Breyer, didn't the president invoke executive privilege? That would have prompted a clear appeal route without making any exceptions.
Executive privilege may not have covered every scrap of paper. It would have required the president and the vice president to spend time with documents deciding whether or not to assert executive privilege.
Justice Kennedy responded wearily, I hear in your argument echoes of every discovery complaint I've ever listened to. But if Olson had a tough ride, lawyer Alan Morrison, representing the Sierra Club, got a rodeo rough-up when he rose to make his argument. Justice John Paul Stevens was perhaps the most skeptical, clearly suggesting that in a case like this, the pretrial discovery process would produce as much information as a win at the end of the case.
What do you get if you win the lawsuit? That's the thing I hadn't really been understanding here.
We get copies of all the papers that were exchanged in the entire advisory committee process.
Have you not asked for those in discovery?
We have asked for discovery requests, which the government contends are very broad and could include some of those things. Our discovery plan...
And are they right?
They could be interpreted as being right, but not in light of what the district court said.
The district court judge, in fact, ordered the White House to produce records of who participated in task force meetings, subgroup meetings, and who saw and had input into task force reports. Justice Breyer picked up on that, contending that government can't live in a cocoon in developing policy.
This is not a discovery statute. This is not a Freedom of Information Act statute. This is a Blue Ribbon Committee statute.
No, Your Honor,
and if you turn it into the latter, you will stop every lower level official in government when he's creating legislative policy from getting on the phone and calling up whoever he pleases. Now, that you understand that argument. I want your response.
Right. We concede that both this committee and the executive office of the president and anyone else can call anyone they want at any time without triggering FACA, only if you have a formalized committee and if you bring people in to participate in the same manner as other committee members.
That would require voting.
Not necessarily, Your Honor.
I've always been puzzled by that in your briefs, to participate in the same manner as other committee members. It seems to me the essence of being a committee member is having a vote in the outcome.
That was Justice Antonin Scalia, whose refusal to disqualify himself from the Cheney case because of a duck hunting trip he took with the vice president in January, has provoked considerable controversy. If anyone expected the ebullient Scalia to remain silent, however, they were wrong. Indeed, Scalia opined at some length on what he views as the mistaken notion that executive privilege claims should be resolved by the courts instead of the political process.
That is not my view of executive privilege. I think executive privilege means whenever the president feels that he is threatened, he can simply refuse to comply with a court order. And after that, it's a struggle between two branches. And if you view executive privilege that way, forcing him to assert executive privilege is really pushing things to an extreme that should not very often occur in this republic.
Scalia's view of executive privilege may not be held by a majority of the court, but for the purposes of this case, his long track record on deferring to executive power all but assures his vote for Cheney. Today's argument suggested that he may well be in the majority on that. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.